Tonight, we have a very special guest with us that's going to speak to us for a little while. And I want to go ahead and introduce you to him and let him go ahead and come. I'm not going to tell you a lot about him. I'm going to let him tell his own story tonight, okay? His name is Josh Allen, and he is the son of Kevin standing over here. And it's Truth on Fire Ministries. Truth on Fire Ministries. And he'll tell you more about that in just a minute. So let's give a big Ben welcome tonight to Josh Allen.
I know y'all don't mind if a tattooed guy comes in here with a lot of energy and talks to you about Jesus for a couple minutes. Hey, the thing I love about the Ben is when I was watching back home in Tampa, I felt like I was part of the family, man. I'm being honest with you. I felt like I was part of the family. I'm on my sofa in the living room, and I'm like, man, these guys are so vocal. These guys are so passionate. This body of believers is so vocal about their belief and their faith. I've been to a few other churches, man, where that's not the case. So I just really wanted to express my gratitude for knowing that I'm in a body-filled, spirit-filled church of people who aren't afraid to speak up about their belief. I also love it when Pastor Shane says, look at me, look at me. So I'm going to try to get one of those in there tonight. But with that being said, again, my name is Josh Allen. I am from Tampa, Florida, and I am the son of Kevin Allen. And I know there was a one time I'd have been embarrassed to say that because my dad wouldn't have been so proud of me. Now, guys, I'm going to keep it 100% real with you guys tonight. So I hope y'all can handle that, okay? I'm not up here to use big words and fancy. You know, Paul said, let's not complex this gospel thing, man. All we have to do is come to an understanding that Jesus Christ is the only way that I can ever inherit anything other than this world has to offer. Did y'all just hear what I said? I'm talking about Jesus Christ is the only way that I can inherit anything other than what this world has to offer. I don't know about you, but I don't care what your bank account says if you're spiritually bankrupt. I don't care what kind of car you drive if you ain't got no gates to the kingdom of heaven. Look here, man, I get fired up. Truth on Fire Ministries, this is a nonprofit charity that we founded in Tampa, Florida, and the goal is to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. We've been blessed so much. We get a lot of outside contributions and donations, and our goal is just to make every family be able to turn their house into a home. So that's pretty much what we do. And every time we get a chance to snag a young one around, we'll pull them around and we'll tell them the truth about Jesus. Because I don't know about y'all, but this social media has got our kids all kinds of messed up, man. Oh, yeah. Why are our kids trying to hurt themselves because they don't look like this girl over here? We need to grab them kids around, man. We need to love on them. Because if not, they're going to go down a path very similar to the path that I went down. And I'm not saying I didn't have people to pull up on me and tell me that they love me. I was just too hard-headed to understand in the moment. Having stepkids of my own up here, you know, I kind of married into like an instant family. You know, my wife's got three older kids. I had, you know, none of my own at the time. And here I am now. I got three kids. I just had two little girls. I got a family of like 17 overnight. It's crazy how God works. I say all that to say, Noah, can we throw up this first picture, man? Y'all don't want this guy coming in the door, I'm telling you. Golly. Guys, this is the beginning of transformation. This is a guy who came in. Hey, I get emotional. Y'all don't laugh at me, man. I get emotional because what Jesus has done in my life has transformed me. That guy right there, man, he's sad, man. He's hurting. He's broken. So whenever I get an opportunity to step up on a platform and talk about what he's done in my life, man, I'm going to do it until there's no more breath in my lungs. So I graduated from high school in Tampa, Florida, 2003. Great student. No issues in high school. I came to Old Tech over here. Man, I thought my future was bright. And then about 8 weeks later, I realized I wasn't going to do so good in school. I got out of college, man. Well, I didn't really get out. I kind of got escorted out, if you will. But I got escorted out, and I realized, like, man, this is going to be a long, bumpy road. And I knew it at 18 years old. Why do we go through some things, man, where we find ourselves bound in chains overnight? And for 15 years, we're going to lug this ball and chain around and just hope and pray for some kind of miracle to take place for us to experience freedom. But for me, I knew that I was going to die in the most pitiful shape that one could ever be in. Mentally bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt, physically bankrupt. I grew up in the church, and I always knew about Jesus. I knew about God. But you know what? There was always that other shoulder talking to me, saying, hey, man, you're not worthy of that. Man, do you know what you just did? God can't forgive you for that stuff, man. A total lie straight from the pit. Guys, tonight I'm so happy to be up here to declare victory. If you will know, if you'll just kind of start pushing those pictures through, I'll just kind of talk about it as we're going through. That's how you know God's real right there. Look at that wife I got. Man, you saw that guy before this, and then now look at the wife I got. Man, God is good. So we got married. Then we had our first baby. I think I was carrying her kind of there. But we had our first baby. Her name was Faith. And, wait, that's the Heisman. Next one. Oh, there she is. So God really began transforming my life. But there were some things that I had to do. First thing I had to do was I had to own it. I had to own it. I had to accept the state that I was in, understanding that the only way my circumstances were going to change in the state that I was in was a touch from the Creator himself. Yep. Who's had a touch from the Creator themselves? Yeah. If you've had a touch from the Creator himself, then you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't think that you were completely different before that touch, maybe you need to reconsider who touched you. Because I'm not the same. I get so excited, man. You know, when I got my touch, I knew it. I knew my life was completely transforming right before my eyes. And October the 15th of 2018, I completely surrendered the lifestyle that I was previously living. Now, that lifestyle consisted of all kinds of things, which we don't really need to go into because they were the contrary of what they should have been. And I think we can all understand that. Addiction, alcoholism, the chaotic lifestyle, 15 years being bound to the chains of addiction. And why? Why did it happen to me? I'm a good guy. I got a great heart on the inside, even going through it. I'm still loving on people the best that I can, even though I'm sick. Well, there's a story that I want to highlight tonight. And it's in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 is where the story starts. And it says, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, then I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that, highlight this, healing power had left him. So he turned around in the crowd, and he asked, hey, who touched my robe? And his disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. And then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. You know, when I think about that, I feel like that's my story summed up. Societally unclean, like she was ceremonially unclean. Judged and viewed by everybody that walked by. Everybody's got something to say or something to think, and it's not encouraging. They're trying to keep you away. Oh, you don't belong out here. Well, if you serve the same Jesus that I do, we're in this thing together. There's nothing that you've done that's any worse than what I've done, and vice versa, because as far as I'm concerned, we're all covered by the same grace. Grace, undeserved favor or merit that's extended to all of us. And guys, I hate to let you know this if you don't know this, but you can't earn your way there, okay? You can't do enough to get there on your own. If you don't have Jesus, you ain't gonna make it. And for me, that's the hardest part of this life. As family continues to grow older, as loved ones continue to deteriorate, and they become in a place of almost decrepitness, and it's like, you know, their time is running short. There's nothing worse than family that you look at and you know that they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The best thing about salvation is the reuniting of people in the pearly gates, in the golden streets, and we're all worshiping God, saying, God, thank you for sparing me and for changing my life. From whom all blessings flow. Guys, that's me tonight. A heart of gratitude, a heart of love, a heart of compassion. It's so easy to look at somebody and just assume about them. It's so easy. I mean, even me. I went to the ball field the other night and I saw about five ladies put their purse under their hand. I'm like, y'all want to go to church tomorrow night? I'm speaking. Like, I'm not here for your pocketbook. I'm here to watch a ball game. Golly. No, but in all seriousness, some of the things that God has done in my life. Does anybody in here need a touch from Jesus tonight? It don't matter what I've done. Does anybody in here need a touch from Jesus tonight? Adam, where are you at? All right, good. I was hoping to get some keys in the background. I need a continued touch from Jesus. I'm not healed once and for all. I work every day to be proactive, to surround myself with people that are like-minded, to surround myself with people that I can help, because then I'm not thinking about me and myself. I'm trying to inherit your problems, and then my problems seem so small. God has given us this beautiful thing when we take a leadership role. We get to have intimate conversations. We get to see people transformed. We get to see healing. I don't know about this church, but I love healing. Oh, yeah. I've been healed, man, by stripes, man. I have been healed. I was the woman who literally fought through the crowd and said, I just need to touch Jesus. Tonight, if you need to touch Jesus, let's touch on him. Let's get to the foot of the cross. Let's get to the foot of the cross. Guys, tonight, as a body, I want to pray. I want everybody to pray for our country. I want everybody to pray for the body of believers around us. There is a lot of controversy going on right now. And it's the body of Christ who's supposed to take a stand. Let's take a stand. Let's love on each other. Let's do it. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord. God, we come to you, God, with a humbled heart, God, and we come to you with gratitude, God. We come expecting you, God. God, we don't pray with anything but solid belief, God. God, we pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you are going to continue to allow this body of believers to be the foundation of Cookeville. God, that this foundation would continue to spread, Lord. God, we pray for our country, God. All the difficulties that we're experiencing, God, I pray that the body of believers would be the foundation, God, and that we would set the example, Lord. That we would lead through love, God. That we would lead through action, Lord. God, help us to reach out. Help us to touch those who need it the most. Father God, we thank you for this time of fellowship. God, we thank you for the healing in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for repaired relationships, God. We thank you, God, for healing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The name above every other name. The author and finisher of this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Ben, family, if I could just brag for 1 second on what God has done. There were relationships that I had with my family, with my dad, with Sherry. And there was a time where I knocked on the door and they didn't let me inside the house. And you're talking about being brokenhearted. I was crushed, man. Today, God has restored that relationship. God has restored that relationship. I don't know about y'all, but relationships aren't the easiest to restore sometimes when you've been through some things like I've been through. My wife and I, we've had 3 girls, and our middle girl, her name was Selah Joy. Unfortunately, there was a complication in the pregnancy, and we had to deliver her at 18 weeks. And I held her in the palm of my hand. Her heart beat for 2 hours and 23 minutes after exiting the womb. You're talking about a difficult experience. I'm literally seeing her little chest compressions and raises. And not one time throughout the whole thing did I ever go, God, why? Because I don't know about you, but I'm not ready for God's answer on why. God, I trust you. I trust you. God, that night that I was in that house and somebody came in there and they kicked the door in and they pistol whipped me and they tied me up and they kidnapped me and they took me to the middle of the field. And I thought my life was over, man. And a guy's walking back and forth in front of me with a pistol for 3-4 hours asking me questions. Talk about scary, man. But there was a moment right then where God spoke to me and he said, hey, man, you got yourself into this, but I'm going to get you out of it. I'm telling you. Guys, there's some things that there is no reason in my own strength that I would be here tonight. God's a God of deliverance. Man, God delivered me. Not just from that situation, but countless others. Sorry to get up here and be all sappy on y'all, man, but I'm just so grateful today. I'm so grateful. When I see all my family sitting back there supporting me, man, and cheering me on, that means a lot. That means a lot. To know that tonight that when I walk out these doors that I'm not putting on a front or a facade and I don't have to fake my way into the parking lot to go home to do something else. That tonight I get to go home and I still get to talk about Jesus when I'm in the house. I still get to express my gratitude when I go to the store and I help somebody out, whatever the case may be. When we lost our sailor, I knew God had a reason why. And even though I didn't need to ask why, has anybody ever experienced loss of a child in this room? If you have, now you got somebody to talk to about it. If you have, maybe Truth on Fire Ministries can do something for you to help you out, to help you get through it. Man, God is so good. The other day, man, I got to sing the national anthem at the Tampa Bay Rays game. Hey, that's pretty cool, man. I remember I sang it outside of a baseball stadium one time under a bridge, and I was like, man, there's good acoustics under here. I didn't have nowhere else to go. I pulled out my phone, recorded it and everything, thought I was like in the booth, you know? I'm serious. I recorded it, man, and the other day, man, look at that guy. That's Raymond from the Rays. But man, what a cool experience that is, man. These are the things that God is beginning to do in my life. These are the things that make me so excited to get up here and talk about, man. And it's like, more importantly than what it's doing for me is, how can I encourage you? How can I get you out of your pit? How can I help bring you to the truth? Because the truth is out there. The truth is right here in the bend. This is the truth, man. A body of excited believers coming together, gathering in the name of Jesus, where two or more are gathered, I am there in the midst, and he's in here, and he's stirring in hearts, and hearts are being touched online at home, because I'm one of them. Guys, I appreciate y'all so much allowing me to come up here. When Pastor Shane asked me to come up here and share a little bit of my story, I was super excited to do so. You know, I feel like I kind of got to be a little bit careful because I don't want to scare anybody out of here, you know? But I mean, I'll tell it. Y'all want a little more?
Yeah.
18 years old, I'm at Tech. Man, I knew it was going to be a long road, like I told you earlier. I'm riding through the neighborhood over here at my Nana's house. Man, I hit a tree head on, 45 miles per hour, flew through the windshield, walked away with 12 staples in my wrist. That was the first, like, oh, man, like I got a problem here. I got a problem, man. Didn't take long after that, I get linked up with some other knuckleheads. You know us knuckleheads, when we get together, man, we're really knuckleheads then, you know. I get linked up with these guys, man, and I'm thinking I'm like Tony Montana and Scarface or something, you know. Thinking I'm going to live this fast-paced lifestyle before you know it. Man, indictment. 18, 19 years old. Well, what do you do now? The good jobs are out the window. I guess I better keep on going. So I get on the run for 6 years. I get picked up down in Florida where I'm from. The out-of-state warrant didn't link with the first arrest in Florida, so I barely just escaped out on bond there. Guys, I'm keeping it 100 with y'all. Y'all don't start judging me now. All right. But guys, this is like the series of events that are taking place. So I got out in Florida. And man, all my stuff was like super petty stuff. Like, I'm not trying to minimize by any means. I was breaking the law. Breaking the law is breaking the law. I get that. I understand that. I hold myself accountable for those things. And I've taken the necessary steps to forgive myself of those things and have society's forgiveness on those things. But I say all that to say, man, like this chain of events that was happening, it's like, man, when does it end? I got picked up on my dad's birthday in 2009. Wasn't much of a happy birthday call. More like you got a collect call. Well, some of y'all got that. I know y'all have had visitors before. That's what that means. But, yeah, man, collect call, man. I didn't get no answer. I didn't expect to, you know. But I say all that, man, So boom, that happens. And then now here I am. I'm out running around again. I'm deceiving my family. They're trying to help me out, put me in a place. Didn't do right by them. Things continued to snowball and get worse. The addiction continued to take me more and more and further and further. And I've never discussed this out in public, but I'm going to tell you right now, just because there's freedom in revealing ourselves. James says if we confess our sins to one another, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So here I am, I'm confessing. There was a time, guys, where the devil had me so close to the end that there was like some physical self-harm that was taking place. And I knew in that moment, I'm this close. But I have to tell you, I was at this garage sale. I'm having this garage sale in Texas. And this lady was shopping at one of the tables. Sister with long dreads, I'll never forget her from the backside because she had the longest dreads I've ever seen in my whole life. And I walk outside and I go, "Good morning, ma'am, how are you today?" Now, this is in the height of my addiction, okay? She turns around and she looks at me and she says, "Baby, you got the sound of a pastor. You got the sound of a youth pastor. When you was locked up behind them walls 5 years ago, when you was supposed to die from that overdose 7 years ago, and you thought the devil's got you by the foot, well, baby, I'm here to tell you that God's got you by the waist."
Come on.
And you want to talk about some waterfall tears right then. Because I know I've been running. That's the story of my life. Running from God. Running from the law. Running, running, running. Like Forrest Gump.
I was a running.
Until I wasn't running anymore. But this lady, she says to me, "You need to come to my church this Sunday." I said, "Yes, ma'am. What time? Where's it at?" "Well, it's a church over here off 38th. It's the brown and purple one." I said, "Well, I can't forget that. Brown and purple." So she said, "It starts at noon." I'm like, "All right, I'm going to be there." So I show up at noon. She's like telling me, like, "Yeah, me and my husband, we do the worship music there at the church and this and that." And I'm like, "Okay, well, that'll be easy to spot, you know." So I walk in the door. I'm the only white gentleman in the house. And all the brothers just embrace me. "Hey, man, what brought you in here today?" I said, "Well, the sister with the long dreads, she told me that I needed to come by today. Her and her husband are the ones that do the music here." "Hey, Brother Ronnie, you know the sister with the dreads that does the music here with her?" These guys didn't even know who I was talking about. But I showed up at this church, and I had great church. It was 4 hours long, and I was like, "Man, football's on at 4:15. We got to wrap this thing up." But I'm serious. So then the next Tuesday, I go through the McDonald's drive-thru. McRib was back. I'll never forget it. So I pull in. I'm like, "Man, I'm going to get this drive-thru, and I'm gone." God had another plan for me, man. I pull up. "Hey, man, we're waiting on the fresh fries. If you want to pull over here, we'll get them out to you." And I said, "Hey, man, no big deal. I'm going to park, and I'm going to come on in." So I parked. I went inside. I'm eating by myself. And as I'm walking out, this young lady follows behind me, runs across the drive-thru lane. Excuse me. I got to tell you something. God told me that he wanted me to tell you that you need to come to my church this Thursday night, that he's going to do something in your life that you've been waiting for him to do." Hello?
Come on, man.
Waiting for you to do. There's only one thing I can think of for that. Break these chains. And I said, "Well, good Lord." I said, "Well, where's the church at?" "Well, it's the brown and purple one over here off 38th Avenue. I said, "You got to be kidding me. I was just there." She put her hands on me, man, and we prayed out. I'm talking about a cup on the car, leftover food on the car. I'm talking about we sat there in the drive-thru, outside the drive-thru lane, and we just prayed, man. And I'm talking about hands up. "God, come pick me up. I'm your child. Come and pick me up and bring me to safety, Lord." Thursday rolls around. Yeah, you guessed it. Never showed up. Never showed up. Got distracted. I think I know somebody who's like the author of distraction. I think I know of somebody who's like the author of like decimation, steal, kill, and destroy. That guy. Yeah, him. And he about did it. Scary time, man. But look, I don't want to give him any credit because we're talking about freedom today, and we're talking about we're in the house of God, and we're talking about a testimony, and we're talking about victory, and we're talking about life after death, and we're talking about the blind now seeing, and we're talking about being on a platform that he's prepared to share the word of God with you. If you want to crawl through the crowd tonight, if you want to touch Jesus tonight, if there's something that you've been waiting for him to do, why wait, guys? Let's not wait. We know we're not promised any other day but today. And the last thing I want to hear when I get in a situation like that is, hey, man, you are a dollar short, man. Ooh. Depart from me, I do not know you. Man, that's a bad feeling right there. I mean, talk about like the ultimate bad feeling. I've had some bad feelings, but. Whew. Well, guys, again, I appreciate y'all so much having me in your place of worship tonight. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful to spend some time with you. I'm so grateful to brag on God and what he's done. It's unbelievable, man. I hope y'all will add us on Facebook. My wife and I, we share a Facebook. I hope y'all will add us on Facebook. I'll put the name out there, maybe on the Ben page in a comment or something. And if y'all will add us and just kind of keep in contact with me, I'd really appreciate it. With that said, Adam, will you please play like please take it. Gosh, what are you waiting for?
Well, after a testimony like that, I like to sing a song like this. I give myself away.
Stand up with me, please.
Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Each and every one of us have a story. We have a part to play. and we got to give it all away to Jesus. Your Bible says that your life is your daily acceptable form of worship. Not what you do in this building, but what you do out in the streets. Lord, I give myself away.
Masterpiece, God, because that's what you create, God, our masterpieces, God. We thank you for the courage to stand before and share all of our blemishes and share all of our mistakes and share all of the things that we've done, God, that have just allowed you to let your grace reign in and run supreme in our life, God. We are saved by grace through faith. We thank you for your word, your daily instruction, God, on how we should carry ourselves as your children. The way, God, that we can encourage and motivate others, God. The way that we can offer hope and offer peace and offer love, God. We thank you for not my story, God, but for our story, God. This is our story, Lord, and I'm going to continue to share it at every opportunity given. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We serve a life-changing God. He delights in picking us up out of the mud. Brother, thank you. Thank you for sharing and being so real and open with us. We're honored. Thank you very much. Well, let's all make it a point tomorrow to give ourselves away for somebody else. Amen. I think the world will be a little better place if we just do that. Amen. So as you go tonight, go in peace. With the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ on your life, walk in his strength and his love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great holiday weekend.